Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Welcome back. Our guest once again this week is Peter Lin with the Lin Tet. This is part two of our two-part interview we're having with Peter, talking about music and his new CD, which is just out as of the past couple of months. Also joining us in the studio is Sais Wu, who is a new member of our China America team to assist with the interviewing. So, Peter, when you go into putting together a CD and you've got all these older songs, are the charts, the original sheet music, still available for you to work with?
Sometimes they are, but for the most part, what I'll do is, actually my wife is from China, and she's the one that selected most of the selections on the album, because she knows what's very popular over there, right? So she basically just gave me the original recordings, or most of them are YouTube, you know? And I'll just listen to them a couple times, be like, oh, okay, this might work on top. Like, I kind of hear, because I've been playing jazz for, I want to say, 8-9 years now. So, like, I'm used to playing standards and hearing, like, jazz tunes and stuff like that. So it was just a matter of kind of translating that feel into the more karaoke-style tunes. So I basically just transcribed the melody. I put some chords behind it, you know, and then just add some different kind of rhythms and maybe some, you know, arranging and stuff for the group. But after that, you pretty much have an arrangement of those songs.
How many? How do you pick how many players you need for each set?
So typically for the Lin Tet, it's actually 5. That's what I prefer in terms of the overall sound. You know, having a selection. I have 2 horn players, so that allows me to have harmony. Plus, I have a chordal player, a bass player, and drums. And for me, I have most of my arrangements in that setting. I mean, I could usually do quartet, but it's not the same, you know, because it's just the melody and then the chords. So it's a different effect it has on people. I find it just goes with the budget.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean?
That too.
For sure. Like, whatever they can afford.
So you just mentioned that most of the songs in that album were selected by your wife. So may I assume that those are not the songs you listened to when you were growing up?
Actually, some of them I recognize from karaoke nights from my parents. You know, we had some church gatherings where they would, like, just sing karaoke while the kids were doing something else, right? So at first, I didn't like those songs at all because, I mean, they were my parents singing them. You know what I mean? Just like really off-key, like, you know, stuff. I was like, oh, okay. But after a reinvestigation, you know, years later, just appreciating different kinds of music and stuff, it was nice to return to that music and just remember, like, as a kid growing up, like, oh yeah, I remember, like, hearing snippets of that melody. Like, it sticks in your mind. And you know, the only thing I kept the integrity of really is the melody. You know, that's, for me, that's the most important part, or else it's not the song anymore, right? If you just took the notes and rearranged it however you want, like, it's going to get very confusing to listeners as to what they're listening to. But for the most part, people actually recognize all the songs that we have arranged, you know, so far.
All right. The reason I asked that question was because I know that you've been very active in this music education. Mm. You've been teaching as a teacher in Jazz House Kids in Montclair.
Yes.
And also you're assistant in Jazz House Summer Workshop. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, what's the relationship between, you know, your music experience when you were a child and your career you're having today?
Yeah, my experience as a child growing up, I mean, you know, I was born here in America, and I went through the school system where there was jazz band and stuff like that, right? So I pretty much, you know, went, started trombone in school, you know. I learned jazz from all my teachers, you know, private lessons and stuff like that. And then went to college, William Patterson, Rutgers for jazz performance. And most of the stuff I teach now, but sometimes I'll just add some cultural tidbits in there too, you know what I mean? Just to let them know that it's okay to take your music and put a new spin on it. So I try to present that in that light too, and I guess that's what makes me so unique too in this field, because again, there's not that many of us, especially in the education realm. You barely see Asian Americans teaching jazz, or just Asian people in general. So it definitely, it's a learning experience, you know. just trying to get all this stuff together.
I noticed one of the tracks on the CD, which is called With Respect. And if anybody wants to know more about Peter and the CD, they can just go to lintet.com, L-I-N-T-E-T. Is that in the dictionary, I wonder, L-I-N-T-E-T?
I wonder. I haven't looked. There's another band with two N's.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, so I noticed that one of the tracks is actually kind of a jam session. Isn't that kind of risky when you've got tape rolling and you're recording?
It's true.
How many takes does it take to get a jam session just the way you want it?
Actually, you know what's funny is that the musicians I hire are all very professional jazz musicians in the field already. You know, they're all established and have played with a number of people. So when I call them for the record date to basically be like, okay, everyone take a chorus, meaning everyone take a solo, it wasn't a problem at all. We literally did that twice. I
really?
Think, yeah. So, and it's a blues, so like a lot of the jazz musicians like know how to solo on that. So it wasn't an issue at all in terms of getting that on tape. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely risky when you have like everyone taking a solo and then everyone wants to kind of play at the highest level that they want and try to make it all work together. But I think the track came out really nicely with just having all these different voices come out. And that's what I've been doing for most of my life is going to a lot of jam sessions and hosting a lot of jam sessions. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to give that vibe to people. I want to give that kind of feeling. You'd be surprised. A lot of jazz recording sessions can be like that. You know, nowadays there's not as many bands together in terms of like having the same members. Mm-hmm. There's only a few out there. So nowadays people just hire, you know, people just come in and play, so you gotta be on top of it right. All the time. You gotta make sure you're listening to directions and all kind of stuff.
And an arrangement is a far different thing than an orchestration, mm-hmm. where yes. everything is already mapped out for everybody, and it's all on paper, and there's a music stand in front of everyone.
Well arranging in the jazz context basically is involves orchestration as well, but yeah, it's all written out. You know, all my charts are written on paper and has directions, but in terms of like the solos itself, yeah, they just read the what we call changes or chords that are on the page, and they improvise on top of that. Yeah.
I see you played Passport to Taiwan this year. That's a pretty big crowd.
Oh yeah,
that's always every May in the Union Square, and
yeah,
that must have been a pretty good sized group for you to perform for.
That was a really wonderful experience. You know, I've been wanting to play on that stage for a while, and you know, I still get nervous, especially with like that many people around. But it was received pretty well. I mean, it was raining, so that didn't really help too much. But other than that, it was a really great experience.
I wasn't sure. I saw there was a video of it on your website.
Yeah.
But whenever you see like an Asian event like that, and you see lots of umbrellas, you're not always sure it's rain because it could just be sun.
Right. It could be sun too. Right. You're right. Totally true.
So you clarified the weather for that day in May. So anyway, yeah. Sy, did you have any other questions of Peter before we let him slide back to his
no pun
trombone.
Intended.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Yes, I do. So we talk about the recording sessions, the experience you have with your coworkers, and as well as, you know, performing in rains. So all this experience, do you think that is, you know, it's because you are working as a freelancing trombonist instead of working as a traditionalist, like establishment or with an agent, with a, you know, company helping you all out? Do you think so?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Just to clarify, you're asking if my freelance experience has shaped like what I'm doing today. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, what I'm doing today is basically freelancing and teaching. And I've been doing that for a number of years. And because I do work for myself, meaning like I just make all the decisions as to what I need to do in my life, then, a lot of my thinking is done at home. Like, just like, okay, what's the next step towards like getting myself more out there and making myself unique, because I didn't want to just release another album of originals and jazz standards because all my, you know, coworkers and other people are doing that. So I really had to find a way, like a niche, you know, for myself in order to keep myself going. And to be honest, like this year, I've had more gigs where I've been leading than people have been hiring me. In terms of like financially, I've been more secure just by doing that. Which is pretty amazing in terms of what I had thought in the past. I was like, oh, I'll just get hired by a lot of people, you know, which is true. But after that, then what, you know, a lot of people get on the side as a side person, they don't get known as a leader. So I wanted to just start as a leader so that I could establish myself as that. And then that way you have both options available. So,
and
yeah.
And you and your guys work a lot.
Yeah.
You're like every week, sometimes two nights a week, you know, that you're somewhere doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. I spend almost every day a couple hours just doing business. So meeting just in front of the computer or making phone calls or, you know, having meetings and stuff like that. I didn't think that was as important back then, but now I'm realizing that's how you keep yourself working, because that's what separates you between other musicians who are like, oh, I'll just stay home and practice all the time. But what good is that if no one knows who you are, right? So I intentionally had to, you know, kind of force myself, be like, okay, like just sit down and really figure out what do you want to do with your career, you know?
Well, Peter yeah. Lin is our guest. He's head of his own music group called the Lintet. He's a fine trombone player. The new CD is called With Respect. It's $10. You can download the whole thing from the website, which is lintet.com. Sice, do you have any final questions before we get Peter on the road here?
Right, I still do. So the final question is, you know, right after, you know, Crazy Rich Asian goes to the big screen, so everyone's talking about, you know, Asian representations in
yes.
the movie industry. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you have any suggestion, any advice, you know, how to increase this Asian representation in the jazz music.
Mm. That's a great question. It's something I think about quite frequently, actually. And I think it starts, honestly, with parental expectations as to what they think about their child doing for the rest of their life, you know, because right now it's not an option, mostly because they don't have other friends that have children doing music. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah. specifically jazz, right? Classical music, yeah, maybe more so, but jazz specifically, most of it's just unfamiliar kind of thing for them, right? You have to kind of convince the older parents, like, you know, it's something that they can make a career out of. It might be hard. It might not be the same in terms of a 9-to-5 job, but it is possible, you know. So I think the best way to go about it is for any of the current Asian American actors, artists, musicians, anyone, for them to really just give their life story and try to tell as much as possible in the public setting, because you never know who you're going to affect for the next generation. And Crazy Rich Asians was a, you know, it was a good movie for getting on that path of like, okay, we can do it collectively. And actually two of the tracks, the original versions of these songs are in the movie. So Tian Mi Mi and Eli Shang is the Evening Primrose. Yeah, those two are in the movie, the original versions. So it was just so funny how that worked out. I did not plan that out, you know.
But happy that you know, at least you recognize the songs when you saw the movie.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, it was like not loud and clear in the background.
What you just said rings true with getting more Asian faces in broadcasting, because it's not a career track that most people would, you know, push their children into. Mm-hmm. But curiously, a couple of weeks ago, I went to an event and Jeremy Lin was the guest. And he was blessing the fact that most Asian parents wouldn't push their children into a life of professional basketball, because it would be something that you couldn't make a living at. And then he smiled and said, "But I did."
That's right.
So
that's right.
So you never know till you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I think it's really important. And the other thing is, you know, promotion of the current Asian American actors or artists, or, you know, anyone that's in the field that's unfamiliar, is to promote them as much as possible. So part of it is on the organizations that put together these cultural events, like just help promote as much as possible. And the more it's visible, you know, the more that people can hang on to the idea.
If people want to check out your upcoming itinerary where you're going to be playing, they can always do that on the website.
Website, yeah, that's something I update myself. Most of the stuff that I do is so last minute that I don't always have time to post on website. So if they follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, like, that's usually where it is happening in real time.
Okay, great.
Or more so in real time.
Well, Peter, it's great to see you again.
Yes.
Good luck with the new CD. Have a good winter, and we'll be checking in with you the next time something else breaks in your world, and keep us apprised of what's going on.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, great to talk to you.
Yeah.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.